You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. The third annual Invited Celebrity Classic is a nationally televised PGA Tour Championships competition that features 78 PGA Tour champions and 40 sports and entertainment stars from and that's from April 19th through the 21st at Las Colinas Country Club. That's in Irving, Texas. The tournament will be live on Golf Channel all 3 days. PGA Tour champion professionals will play 54 holes of stroke play for a purse of $2 million with the celebrities in a $500,000 competition. And one of those celebrities joins us right now. And he's always great with us when he comes on the show. The Hall of Famer, John Smoltz. John, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Now, on Wednesday, we have this little bit that we do, Would You Wednesday, where you have to choose between scenarios of what you would choose. So I'm going to start you off with one. You ready? Would you, would you give up all the greatness that you had as a baseball player to become a great PGA golfer who wins the Masters?
Wow. I would say... All right, it's just to win the Masters?
No, I mean, you're that's consistently it. Good. You're like Phil Mickelson.
But you get a jacket, maybe win one PGA championship, no, I mean, but you have a great run.
You're
one of the greats.
You're Rory McIlroy. I don't know if you're Tiger, but you're one of the greats.
No, he's not Tiger. You can't even say he's Tiger, but you're great.
Well, what about parallel career?
He has a parallel career. What would you take?
I'm going to tell you something. It's going to shock you. I'd probably take the golfing career because it lasts longer.
Yep. Really? You love golf.
I love golf. I love being part of a team. I love being a teammate. But that's an individual sport that you can play well into your 50s. So I'm going to go there. That's a great question, but that's where I'm going.
Well, Mike, how fun would it be, even as you get older, to know that you can go back and play in the majors that you won and have a chance any given year to get one?
You mean, yeah. I mean, that's the point.
Like, you're 54. One year you're randomly competing. Like, it could happen.
Jack Nicklaus did it.
Exactly.
At 46.
So,
yeah.
I think you could still come back and play some baseball, John. Why not?
I tell you what. If I had a shoulder, I would be very intrigued.
All right. Well, now we had on your former teammate Greg Maddux last week, and I asked him this question. I want to ask you. So, Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery are still out, still unsigned. At what point, John, is it going to impact them being ready for spring training? Are we already past that, or for opening day, shall I say?
Yeah, I think that's you're already past that part. But, you know, the season's so long, and let's face it, guys aren't asked to go 35 starts, so... It's a delay for every day now. It's a delay of a week, right? Like you get into this place and you're in no man's land when it comes to your reps. He'll be ready to pitch. You're not out of shape to pitch. It's just you miss the reps, and that's what spring training for pitchers is. You've got to get the reps. That is huge to get ready for the season, and if you miss that part, then you're just delayed a week or two for every time that you're missing. That's what you're delayed.
You wonder with these Boris clients, and we know how good Scott Boris has been historically, but this is not the first year. Last couple of years, he's had clients that are sitting there into spring training and into the season not signed. At what point, as a former pitcher, John, do you say, listen, I want the highest price, but I also don't want to affect my career. I want to play. Far do you want to go to be able to get what you really believe you are worth?
Yeah, I think the hardest part with where everyone is right now is that you're talking about some Blake Snell is not your prototypical guy that if you just had the hardware of Cy Young's, I don't know if he's pitching deep enough for a long-term, you know what I'm saying? Like the long-term contract has probably got him held up a little bit because that's, you win an award like that, you win multiple awards, you're just following in line with what everybody else has done. But this is a little unique. He's won awards with bare minimums of innings.
Yep.
So there's a little more to the, and I don't know what he's turned down, right? So whenever anybody's at this point of the spring training, you don't know what they've turned down. You don't know what the offers are. You just know they're holding out for something. And sooner or later, they're banking on teams getting maybe some injuries to where now they're desperate and they go to that, whatever that mark is. But Blake Snell is a very interesting, dynamic pitcher, but one that doesn't, it's hard to say he's going to pitch 210 innings, right? He hasn't done it much.
No, he averages 5 1/3 innings a start.
So I think that's part of the holdup.
Yeah, absolutely. I've said this before, too. It's not like Gerrit Cole, who checks every box when you're looking at a pitcher. There are these free agents that are left over, they're not perfect. I mean, and not many people are perfect, but there are a couple of boxes they don't check. You know, Snell has not been a durable pitcher in terms of like 7 innings a start, and Jordan Montgomery is, you know, he's a good 3. He's not a 1 or a 2. So along those lines, when you look at pitchers right now, I mean, looking around baseball, and you cover it all for Fox and MLB Network, I think Gerrit Cole is by far the best pitcher. Do you think anyone's close?
No, I don't. I think there's, if you play the game, like, is Jacob deGrom healthy, then yeah, he would be very close, but that's not the case. So given what we have and the game that's being out there right now, I think Spencer Strider will grow into that kind of mantra if he continues on his trends. But Gerrit Cole is a complete pitcher. He's a generational pitcher. He can pitch in any generation, and he can pitch. He doesn't have just throw 98, 99.
Yeah, because he was asked this in spring training when I was down there at the beginning, John. He was asked, you know, at some point age will catch up to you, and 98 will come down to 93. Do you think you can make that work? And he said he thought that he could. And listening to you, you sound like he could make it work too because he knows how to pitch, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, anytime you repeat your mechanics, anytime you're in a position that he puts himself in, look, no one's immune from injuries, but man, I love his delivery. I love everything about what he's doing. And I think given the fact that he knows how to pitch, that's not something that is going to bother him when he loses. I think the era we're in now, the radar gun should be eliminated. I really do.
Why so?
Get it off the screens, because I think we're so addicted to it that everybody starts thinking things are going awry or wrong based on 1 mile an hour or 2 miles an hour. Every pitcher's looking towards it. The fans, I think the game would be better if no one knew how hard someone was throwing. I really do.
Now, the American League East is intriguing with Baltimore. They've got ownership now to be able to keep the young players. They were surprised last year. Are they ready to have the target on their back? Are they ready to go in to a season as a possible favorite to win the division and definitely a playoff team? Are they ready for that?
Who's that again?
Baltimore.
The Rangers?
Oh, Baltimore.
Baltimore is absolutely in a position where they're ready. They hit the skids last year offensively, ran out of gas, had the 5 days off. They ran into an extremely hot Texas Rangers, and we know the rest of that story. Baltimore has added pitching, and they've added an element of another year for their young players. That is the maturation you need. They know they're in a juggernaut division, even though the division, Boston's going to be down. The division is right there where they feel like they can compete with everybody. The hardest thing to do in sports is repeat something when you kind of shock somebody, right? But what we went through in 91, we shocked everybody. I don't think there was many people who thought we were going to have a 14-year run, let alone a 4-year run. But there's something to be said about gaining confidence under those moments where someone doesn't tell you how to do it, you did it. And that's where I feel like Boston is similar, Baltimore is similar to what we were in 91 with their young core of players that only gained nothing but experience.
Talking to the Hall of Famer John Smoltz, Yankees pick up Juan Soto during the offseason. John Smoltz is on the mound. Soto's batting second. Judge is batting third. Who are you pitching around?
Well, I don't think you'll have a choice. I think the one thing that's going to be interesting for me is if Soto makes you pitch to Judge, meaning I think, look, Soto is entering the he's entering a place where Joey Votto was at. If I'm a player on the Yankees team, I want Soto to mash. I don't care. I know his on-base percentage looks great to analytics. I get all that. But Soto's impact to the New York Yankees is going to be damage and do damage. If he's looking to take walks and pass the baton, I know that the analytics love that. But you know in this game, you can get first and second, nobody out, and get out of it a little bit easier than you would if people were all putting the ball in play. So it really depends on who's on the mound, and Judge is not fun to pitch to anyways, but top right-handed pitchers are going to pitch around Soto to get to Judge. That's a good problem for the New York Yankees.
Do you believe that Boone is going to go second and third, Soto second, Judge third? Judge has been batting second all these years. Do you think they're doing that so that they're not going to pitch around Soto and that he's actually going to mash rather than just walk?
I mean, I would hope so. Like, I think, again, you know, when everybody talked about Joey Votto and what he should be or shouldn't be and the on-base percentage and all that stuff, I like to see players, when there's a 3-1 pitch and it's an opportunity to drive in a run, drive the run in. I don't subscribe to, hey, your on-base percentage. If you got an offense and a lineup that puts the ball in play a lot, then awesome. Get on base as many times as you can. But if you're built to mash. And that's what the Yankees lineup now can do. They can put the ball in play more. They're going to hit their home runs, and they got to put Judge in a position to do damage because he is the most feared hitter in the game when he's healthy, period.
Another really good player in New York is Pete Alonso. He's in the last year of his contract. Not sure what the Mets are going to do. What would you do? Would you lock him up, or would you want to see what kind of season he had? Is he a that kind of generational talent that you'd give big-time money to?
To me, I've seen enough of this guy's want and desire. And if you've got a chance to win and you're going to build some pieces around him, I lock him up. Because this guy... And I'm not just talking about the home run hitting competition where he's just got something in him that wants to be the best and believes he's going to be the best. And he's been through his funks. And I think that shows me all I needed to see.
All right. If you were betting, and I'm not saying you're a betting man, would you take the Dodgers or would you take the field instead of the Dodgers to win it all?
I still take the field, and that's not anything against the Dodgers. They just have so much pressure on them that until I see a rotation that's healthy and they've got the makings of a great rotation, that lineup scares you. But it still comes down to, in this gauntlet of a playoff series, it still comes down to that pitching staff being healthy at the right time. And there's a couple pitching staffs that can equal the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League. But boy, I'd sure like to be on the Dodgers with all that pressure on my back leaving spring training. That's the dream of every baseball player. You want that pressure. But what comes with it is a high expectation of delivering a lot of times.
And the guy who, I mean, we know what Ohtani can do. He has two MVPs, but you know, Yamamoto made an unbelievable amount of money. He has never thrown a pitch in the big leagues. How do you think that's going to translate to the big leagues? I know he's won the equivalent of 3 Cy Youngs in Japan, but what's the difference? And do you think the transition is going to be easy or hard?
I think it's going to be harder than people think. He's going to do fine, but I think it's going to be harder than people think. I mean, this is not a rookie, but he's a rookie to Major League Baseball, and all the throwing system and everything that they go through is totally different over here. The baseballs are different. There has got to be an adjustment period for everybody, but they pulled off something that I didn't think was possible in signing the two premier players that have an opportunity to impact their club. And look, it's just a good, it's a good place to be if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now what you got to do, because you haven't shown a history over the years of keeping your pitchers healthy, now you got to get your pitchers healthy. And if you do, you're going to be competing for multiple championships.
You know, we're not big fans of analytics here. One of the things that they throw out about the postseason is it's a crapshoot. But when you look at the Dodgers, right, and their money and their regular seasons, and even you guys, I mean, you had tremendous regular seasons. How many different divisional championships and how hard it was to win in the postseason. Is there truth to it being a crapshoot, or is it just incredibly hard to win in baseball?
A little bit of both. I like the new playoff format. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think we'd have this scenario. I did not think we were going to have teams struggling so bad after having 5 days off. I really didn't. So that part, I am completely at a loss for how this is going to work out. And I think at some point, if the trends continue, I would look at making the best teams in baseball not have as big a gap of a weight and have all home games played in their first round. I think the rewarding of the best team in baseball is the right thing to do. You've got to give them a decided advantage. And if ultimately you want to give them time off, then you got to give them, or you want to shorten that time off, give them all the home games. If someone comes in and beats the best team in baseball, let's just say the Yankees have the best team in American League and they're hosting a 5-game series against whoever. Mm-hmm. All 5 games have to be at New York. And if that team comes in and beats the New York Yankees, you'll hear nobody complain. But if you've got 5 days off and that team's already won a series and teams haven't learned how to deal with the 5 days off and those teams keep losing, it may have to look at a system that maybe gives the home games. And then once that team, you know, let's say you beat the team with all the home games, then it's regular. It's back on.
John Smoltz is our guest. John, what would you do if you were a teammate of Anthony Rendon, who doesn't seem like he loves baseball? Is there any way to get through to somebody like that, or that's just their mindset?
You know, I've always said in baseball that you can get some false reads. Personalities are not always the way we would always think somebody should react. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes is a little bit of a myth. You know, look, I've never been around. I've not been a teammate of his. Like, it would be tough to categorize that without some real information that is not contrary to that, right? So his personality is a low-key guy, and he's had some injuries, and it's easy to cherry-pick when guys have had injuries to act like maybe they don't truly care. And I wouldn't go there, but I could tell you this. Not everybody, like I used to say in baseball, if I struck out and broke a bat and threw a helmet, is that any bit, does that mean I'm trying any harder than the guy that strikes out and walks to the helmet and puts his helmet in his back down? You know, people are going to rather go to the guy who breaks the bat over his knee and throws his helmet as a guy that cares more. And it's just not sometimes the case. He just might have an anger problem. And I think that sometimes false reads can be given to a player who's very subdued, doesn't say much, not flashy, and sometimes that has that has a negative effect.
But the reason I ask you though is because he came out and said, you know, baseball is not that important. My family and my faith are the most important things to me. And I mean, everybody's family and faith should be over their job. But once your day starts, John, and you're between the lines, I think that has to be the most important thing for those 2.5 hours.
But John, what I think you're putting down here is that if you're a teammate of his and you hear him say that, it's really only problematic if you already got a sense that he didn't seem to care. If he seems like he cares all the time, right, you don't care what he says.
Right. Correct. And I think that's part of the struggle in our game. It's such an unbelievably difficult game. And I think when you're playing this game, how you react sometimes, I'll give you another example. It's a foolish example, but If I study 20 seconds over a putt and I miss a 5-footer, and you study 2 minutes over a 5-footer and miss it, who's the one that's accused of not concentrating?
Right.
The guy that But my process takes me to 20 seconds. Your process takes you 2 minutes. And I think it's the same way for personalities in the game. We want superstars. We want certain people to act a certain way. And I think it's a dangerous place if you don't really know the backstory. You know, there's a guy that played in that league in the East that played for the Boston Red Sox, that played outfield, left-handed hitter, had similar personality, that got accused of some of the same things, you know, and was a really good player, but the personality didn't match. And that sometimes is an unfair, and it's hard for me to kind of quantify that. And now, also, if the guy doesn't run things out and he doesn't show that on the field, then that's a different argument.
You know, Merrill Kelly said today on a podcast, he said, if you think that Anthony Rendon's the only one who feels like that, you'd be shocked. There's a lot of players that, hey, this is what they do, this is how they earn a living, but they don't love the game. Did you experience that, John? That there were some teammates that were really good, but they just didn't live and breathe it?
Absolutely. I mean, again, some of it's their nature of how they go about it, which leads you into, you know, assumptions. But there are guys that are really good at this, and they just don't love it. And people are shocked sometimes by that, but it's just the truth. You know, I mean, people are going to have different ways of going about it, and you hope as a teammate you can impact them, and they can show the kind of energy. But look, I was a pitcher who showed my emotions. I wanted to get after it on the mound. Glavine was stoic. Glavine rarely showed an emotion. But we both had tremendous work ethic and cared deeply about our job. It's just we went about it in a different way. And I think that's kind of the point. But your question is valid. There are many players that fall into a category of what you just said.
So, John, would you say you were the Paul O'Neill of pitchers then?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I definitely would fall into that category. Nice. You know what? I will never forget Paul O'Neill kicking that ball. That will be for the rest of my life. When he kicked that ball, and it was a perfect cutoff when he thought the game was over, that to me is Paul O'Neill.
And, you know, there's a side story that Paul has told on the Yes Network, John. So that I guess Todd Benzinger was at first base, and he kicked the ball to Benzinger, and then they didn't get the runner at home, and they go back to the dugout, and Benzinger goes, you know, you didn't put a lot on that throw. He had no idea that Paul kicked it.
It's classic O'Neill.
Yeah, unbelievable. Hey, thanks so much. And it's the third annual Invited Celebrity Classic, nationally televised on the Golf Channel, April 19th through the 21st at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving. Good luck with that, and we always love having you on, John. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man.
Talk to you down the road.
All right, see you at the ballpark. That is the great John Smoltz. He's real. I think baseball wise, he's on a Steve Young level. I know that's high praise.
Oh no. I couldn't agree with you more. He sounds great every time. He's interesting. He's not formulaic. He thinks through things. He's a comfortable enough phoner that you can have back and forth with him.
Right.
You know, he can roll with the punches.
But you insulted him just a little bit.
What do you mean?
Do you have that, Ant?
That's a great question, but that's where I'm going.
Well, I'm like, how fun would it be,
Mike,
even as you get
Mike.
Older?
Mike Smoltz.
No, I didn't say Mike. I said, well, play.
Oh, let's listen.
Well, here's the 1 second version.
Well, I'm like, how fun would it be? Well, like, I'm not saying, well, Mike. I definitely wouldn't say Mike.
I need to hear it where you don't hit it twice.
All right, here we go.
That's a great question, but that's where I'm going.
Well, I'm like, how fun would it be,
well,
even as
and
you get
like,
older,
yeah,
to, an like, to know that you
Mike.
Can go back?
Sure
I would tell you if I called him Mike in the majors,
yeah. To be honest with us?
And have a chance any given year.
You don't need to play the whole interview. But
well, it was so good, though.
Listen,
a good question.
There are a lot of players that I could randomly call Mike instead of their name, but not from that Braves rotation.
Well, you like that team?
God, do you do a show with me? I love Don. You know,
yeah.
Well, how could you jump from the Pittsburgh Penguins, Boston Celtics,
well,
Orioles,
like
and then the Atlanta?
No,
Braves?
No, they weren't my team. But first of all, my best friend Rafi was obsessed with the Braves. Obsessed. I was obsessed with Halle Berry, who at the time
was married to David Justice.
It's on TBS every day. Deion Sanders on the team. There's just a lot going.
They were a sexy.
They were
just
a thing.
Like them, but they were sexy.
And I was young. Don, I'm 14. So like,
and you
they
still
were
had that strong of a pull toward Halle Berry at 14.
Before 13, well, it started at 13.
Underlying pull.
It started in middle school when she did Strictly Business.
I didn't even think along those lines when I was 13 or 14.
You're very weird.
Then something was broken. Because that's all I thought about.
I fixed it.
No, you may not have.
I fixed it.
No, you made up for it. I don't know if you fixed what was broken.
Yeah, you
made
up fix what was.
But 14 years old?
Didn't even care. All I care about was the New York Yankees.
That is so weird, dude. I mean, Don.
How'd it work out for me?
I don't know.
I think a lot of what's wrong with you might be from that period.
I'll tell you this right now.
Right.
The things that happened for me when I was 14, you have a rewind button, Don? That's probably what all my rewinding is.
You go back to that?
There's nothing better. It was the greatest thing that's ever happened. The greatest marvel.
Your discovery of women?
Yes. Well, first of all, no, that wasn't my discovery. That was my getting in the game. The discovery, Don, was in like late elementary, you know, 10 years old.
Didn't even think.
I was in love with Jeanine Hershey when I was 10.
Really?
I had a girlfriend, Rachel Abramson, when I was 5.
Was there a Hershey kiss there? Did you actually smooch her?
No. Although, you know, and I was also in love with her sister, Janie. I was in love with Janie and Janine.
Well, that's a little wrong.
Well, I didn't date either of them, so it worked out fine. Yeah. But my point is, this was all in elementary school.
Have you looked at them?
The Hershey's?
Yeah. They now own a chocolate company?
They don't own the chocolate company, unfortunately.
The park?
It's the same people. But this was all elementary school. By the time I got to high school, I mean, it was the mark.
Well, you were interested in women at 10.
You didn't say 10.
No, he said 10.
I was thinking about them
all. So he's in 1978?
Why does the year matter?
Well, because I'm trying to figure out what was going on in 1978. I mean, there was an interest, but by the time we got to like 1980, 81, I was a fiend.
Yeah. Well, how old were you in 80, 81?
Like 12, 13 years old? Watching Too Close for Comfort?
I can tell you basically every...
Lydia Cornell or Deborah Van Valkenburg?
So you were just watching things. Van Valkenburg. You were just watching things.
No, Cornell.
Nothing. Nothing crossed your mind.
I'd go right to PIX and watch the Yankees.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Strange duck.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, The Garden of Laughs returns to the theater at Madison Square Garden on March 27th, benefiting the Garden of Dreams Foundation. The all-star comedy lineup features the great, I love him, Bill Burr.
Oh, he's fantastic. Wouldn't sign Don's book, which was unfortunate.
Well, because Don had stuff oozing out of his eye. That's
all right. There's some goes on my hands.
Michael Che.
Loved Che.
I love when they introduce Michael Che on Saturday Night Live, because I imagine that I'm one of the cast members. That the guy just mispronounced the name.
Oh, interesting.
Michael
thought. Never
Che.
Thought about
yeah.
that.
Christy Stefano.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan.
Love the Gaffigan.
My wife loves Gaffigan. Heather McMahon. Tracy Morgan.
Love Trey Moore.
Sam Morrill. And John Stewart.
It's a hell of a lineup.
We're hosted by Steve Sharippa. Support the Garden of Dreams Foundation. Have a great time doing it. Get tickets, Ticketmaster.com. Did you see Jon Stewart's tribute to his dog?
I heard about it.
I was not up for it. I've been doing too much.
Wow.
I don't.
You'll cry.
Did you see when SVP did it a couple years ago?
Yes, and I choked up then.
What is it? How does it compare to the SVP one?
Stewart couldn't contain himself. SVP got choked up.
But kept it together.
But got through it. Stewart, I mean, it's hard.
So yeah, Ballard sent it to me, and I just, you know, with my friend passing last week and both of my dogs being old, and I was just like, you know what? I fully appreciate this. I think about them every day and their age. I don't know that I need something right now. Normally I'm up for a cry. This one felt like it was going to hit too close to home. I didn't feel like it. But I'm sure it's beautiful. I trust Jon Stewart to do a great job. How long was it?
I think it was 6 minutes and 43 seconds.
You made that up.
No, I remember I looked at it.
Almost 7 minutes?
Yeah.
I can't, no. Not
doing it. Even that video.
I'm not doing it. I'm sure he was a wonderful, good boy.
Well, there's really one word for you. Gutless.
But Don, if I already feel that way.
The way he explained it, you're going to call him gutless.
Yeah.
You're heartless.
Yeah,
he just said that he just lost a friend. He's got two elderly dogs. He can't handle it, and you call him gutless.
I know.
Nice.
I know.
Real nice.
By the way, Don, remember this. When invariably the day comes for what these dogs... And I'm, absolutely unspeakably devastated. And Michael's like, pull it together. It's just a dog. I want you to remember, Don. I want you to go back to how he felt about the Stewart moment.
That's hurtful. I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
I let you vape ape for a month, crying on the air. And then I finally said, get it together, buddy. I gave you a month.
You a month. That's not really that long.
Well, how long did you want? A full year of mourning over a marriage?
I mean, it's 12 years.
You make it seem like you're so tolerant. You came up with vape ape.
I know. You called me vape ape. And by the way, I didn't, for the record, when I was the vape ape, I just so everyone knows, I did not sit there openly vaping in front of Michael. I would be sneaking around
here,
vaping.
I would refer to you, and I'm in a rhythm. Like when I'm doing this, I'm like a point guard, okay? And I had a pass that I was going for you, cutting the basket, and you're sitting there weeping.
Well, yeah, I mean, you should have. But that's a bad.
He was broken.
But by the way, Don, that's a bad quarterback. A quarterback has to look around at his receivers and go, so and so's got an injured hand. I'm not going to throw him the ball every play. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to feed the tight end over and over again.
You should have been like Terrell Owens when he was a Cowboy. That's my quarterback. Should have cried with him.
No.
Well, you didn't. And you called him Vape Ape.
Exactly.
And then you finally put your foot down, but you were unhappy with it the second it started going down.
Yeah. What's he going to do?
I would talk behind your back to Don.
And what would you say, Don?
What is he doing? I mean, why is he even showing up?
And what do you say, Don? How did you defend me?
You know what he said? You're absolutely right, but I'm going to be the good guy here.
He didn't do that.
Let him work through it.
He probably sat quietly.
Work through it. There's a show to do.
But how do you entertain?
We're not man. Let him be.
Well, what if he was a numb?
Well, then it's a different story. Lives are at stake.
Yeah.
There were ratings at stake.
Well, now look what happened.
Have we recovered since then?
Right.
We were number one after that.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Yeah, it was October 2018. I've looked at the tape.
We did recover after that.
By December 2018, I was in pretty decent shape. By the time I got out of the new year, I was fine.
You didn't even
deal with it. Andrew and RJ were dealing with it. I didn't even talk to you.
You know why?
I knew you wouldn't understand.
Here's why. I don't want to hear the nonsense. I don't want to hear it. Even as a friend, I don't want to hear it. So I never even wanted to hear it.
And it's not that I could do.
I'm not a psychiatrist.
What a bad friend.
Because I don't want to have my time usurped by somebody like moaning about their life. Get over it.
But you moan about your life and nothing ever happens.
No, I don't. Off the air? Off the air?
Off the air.
Off the air, I moan about my life.
You moan about things.
Well, Mona Jay, you...
Like what?
Health, concerns, worries, misery.
Health.
You are an open book when it comes to what's going on in your life.
Yeah, you hem and haw.
No, you don't cry.
I don't cry.
I don't
seek your help.
I wouldn't care if he did.
I don't seek any of your helps.
No, but that doesn't mean that we don't know what's going on in the world because we're all friends. We're close. I
don't want to hear it.
A good thing.
I don't want to hear it.
I thought... There was a certain amount of pride I felt that he was... that open emotionally to us.
No,
that
sickening he felt to me. Close.
Matter of fact, I was so sensitive to it that when we went out for coffee, I forget why I said it. I said, oh, geez, oh, no. And I was going to apologize to you for saying that.
Because it was a reference
because
back.
Because it was a reference to your ex-wife.
Well, you don't have to feel bad now.
No, but my inkling was that, you know.
You remember a time.
It might be too soon. I don't know.
Right.
But why are you so insensitive? We're not in a foxhole. Bullets aren't whizzing by our heads.
I'm not a therapist. I don't need to hear your problems.
But hold on. Do you know what, Don? Sometimes you got to let someone bury themselves. Because you know what I think? I think every time we have a conversation like that, the sycophant women, the Yankee people who call up, right, and they're like, Michael, I just want to say last night's preseason, it was the greatest spring training call of all time. I think they need to hear what a bad guy you are.
I'm not a bad guy.
You're saying about your friend, I don't want to hear my friend's problem.
No, wait a second. I don't mind hearing it initially. I don't want it to be a constant series. I don't want to hear it every day.
But how do you
I'm not in for it. I didn't sign up for it. I didn't break up your marriage. It wasn't my fault. If it was, then I would listen.
No, but it's Don, how do you even get up? Remove me from it. I don't care. I'm not offended. I had plenty of people to help guide me. It was a round the clock triage.
What do you
of people
think Andrew left for? Andrew left this place because he got tired of your moaning.
It
and
was
complaining about.
I would think I was already.
It wore him down.
No, but
years
later, he was not that I saw. You know, trying to get advice from you. What should I do, Michael?
I'm not a sounding board.
No, but that's not. He just happened to be in the room. Going through an emotional period. He wasn't bothering you. You could have looked away.
No, I did.
He wasn't
looking.
I don't think you were bugging us, like, what should
he bugged
I do?
Me.
No, I never said, you are the last person I would have asked for any advice.
And I'm
in
the last
situation.
Person that would give you any advice.
I could work with someone at WWE, Don, who I'm not even that close with. I see them monthly. And they come up and say they're going through something. I'm like, what's up, man? What's going on? Let's sit down in catering and talk about it.
No, it's not me.
But that's not what he asked
me
to do.
And I didn't even ask you to do that.
It was just emotions.
You just had to be near me.
I'll tell you one thing, okay? You say that I'm an open book. There could be stuff going on in my life I would never tell you guys, ever.
But
I would never want to be like that guy. Just wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. I would keep it to myself. I'd eat myself alive. Rather than burden you with it.
That's so...
Eat yourself alive. Don't give it to me.
But you know what?
He didn't give it to you. You just happened to be in the presence of it, but he didn't bother you.
He wanted to talk to everybody about it, and I was out.
Honestly, I'll just tell you the truth is... You've never been through anything like it then. Because the idea of putting it aside, just be like...
I've had breakups. It's not like a marriage, I agree.
But
when I broke up with somebody, Don, next day I was out...
That's why Don understood. You're a cyborg. You didn't understand. You literally would have, if it was Don, Michael, he would have been really sad for 2 or 3 days.
Maybe a day.
And then he would have been, at God knows where. I don't know where. Back at Blondie's. Out in the streets.
Absolutely.
Peter's. I didn't talk to a woman for like 18 months.
I would have been talking to a woman day.
Yeah, that's not how relationships work.
But you can't
you need
say
to
that.
Mourn things.
You can't say that.
I don't, but I don't tie my self-worth to another human being.
Not about self-worth. It's about you're restarting your entire plan. You have no idea.
I broke up with people that was dating for 5 years. I was fine the next day.
But the next day?
Next day.
No, but you didn't marry them.
But I would have if I was the marrying type.
But you weren't the
marrying
type until you became the marrying type. Why? Because you found the right person.
Right.
And if Jody had done that to you, it would break you in half.
No.
It's an arrangement. You solved. We came full circle to the arrangement. How could you? The next day, I remember Michael goes, I was staying at some dumpy hotel. And he was like, no. Well, what are you doing? You should be staying at the Plaza. Go get yourself a room at the Plaza and have a good time. I was like, good time isn't on the table. Now, listen, in retrospect, there are things that you said that kind of were right, that maybe I would have been happy.
Thank you.
But it's impossible. It's telling someone in a situation when they're broken to do something that wouldn't have been possible.
I you know what? I am broken, so I can't be broken any further.
You know, it's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, you can't break a broken vase. It's broken.
That's exactly right.
I'm broken.
Even if you put
it's just another couple of pieces?
That's a great point by you.
You're broken, too. You're a broken person.
No.
Even in his happy state, you're a broken
no,
man.
No, I'm not. I'm put back together with glue and tape.
But it's all very
everything.
Tenuous.
No, it's called a work of art, what's the way it's put back together now.
Yeah.
You put this thing in the loop.
You're one misstep away from
calling
better help.
Oh, my God.
One misstep away from better help.
This is not right.
What's not right?
Everybody has the potential to be broken. Maybe not by the same thing, but everybody has the potential to be broken. And if you claim you can't be broken, then you're saying you're better than him. That's not right to do.
No, I'm different than him.
Thank you, Don.
No, that's not different. No, everybody can be broken. Maybe it's over their favorite team losing.
I can't be broken.
Maybe it's over a dog
I
dying.
I can't be broken any further than I am.
No, there's not
I'm a broken
so,
person.
So real quick, you say, we continue on with this segment, and you say something that is just so deplorable, which you've been close to saying during the segment already, that the Yankees hear it and they go, I thought we were working with a civilized person.
I am civilized.
They go, this man's no friend. This man's horrible. You know what? He's out.
Right.
Void the contract.
Broken like an egg.
Void the contract. And not only that, you get a memo and it says, no other team in the league is interested. You're done. You're never calling another baseball game.
Okay.
You wouldn't be broken?
I'd be upset.
One day? And then you'd be back at the plaza hanging out at the bar?
No, I have my family to commiserate with.
And you think you'd be, but you wouldn't be broken at all?
I would be very hurt.
And the beard would grow out a little longer?
No.
Maybe consider a vape situation?
You guys would not be my friends anymore. I'd shave the beard. I wouldn't have to pay off the bet.
Wait, why? Would you leave, this show
I'd
too?
I'd leave too, yeah. I'd just go into a shell. But I wouldn't burden you two with my angst. Yeah,
I didn't burden
yes,
anybody.
Yes, you did. I felt burdened.
I didn't even talk to you.
I didn't want to hear
How
it.
How is somebody sitting in a corner vaping bothering you?
Yeah, I did.
He had one conversation with us when it all came to a head.
Yeah. Yes.
And then that was the last thing really discussed.
Yeah, but then you'd walk in there and he'd be burdening Andrew with it. I didn't want to hear it.
Well, I don't know.
Andrew and RJ were great.
What do you think RJ left
beings.
For? And what do you think Andrew left for?
That was 5 years later.
Because it was just the offshoot of it. You broke it.
RJ would rather get up at 3 o'clock in the morning
than listen to that nonsense.
But he was already—he wasn't done. By the way, RJ was the best. RJ was like my assistant coach. Him and I were running play. We were talking through every play. RJ was fantastic.
I gave you the best advice, and then I was out. Go to the plaza, have yourself a good time. Instead, you went to some ratty motel and you sat there and cried all day. How'd it work out?
It worked out great.
Yeah, but
literally, my life ended perfect. I landed exactly where I was supposed to.
And you know what?
Thanks to my good friends, no help to you.
You would have landed the exact same place, and it would have been a happier road to get there at the plaza rather than at the Motel 6.
But I'd have less money.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I just spent the last 3 minutes listening to Peter complain about something in his private life.
Not true.
And believe me, I'm chapped.
Again, not true. Just simply not true.
Let's go to Stanley in Jersey City. Stanley!
Yes, how you doing, gentlemen? It's good. Great. I like to listen to you guys.
Thanks.
Bicker and Bicker. I'm a big Yankee and Ranger fan since my first games in 65. I got a question for you, Mike, real quick, and to Don. Mike, do you think with the starting rotation they have enough going for the year, or you think they're going to get another starter?
Well, I think there's a chance they'll get a starter at the trade deadline if somebody goes down. They believe they have enough at this point, but I don't think they're going to get another starter now. Not as a free agent. They might make a trade, but I don't think they're going to sign Snell or Montgomery.
Yeah, I know, because I've been hearing a lot of rumors and stuff, but I don't listen to rumors. But thanks on that one. And to Don, the Rangers going into the final month, into April. Do you think this team has enough to go into the, at least to the Stanley Cup, or they're going to make some more trades?
No, they're going to have to make another deal. I mean, you can't keep flip-flopping VC, Kako, whoever just happens to be healthy on the right wing of your top line. Kreider and Zibanejad, it's not going to work. And Zibanejad has not played to the best of his ability lately. So they're going to have to find a right winger, whether it's Vetrano. There's plenty of guys out there that they can make a deal with. Maybe it's Henrique who could play some center and open things up. Michael, they're going to have to make a deal. Now, how significant a deal, we'll see. But I presently constitute, I think it's a really good team that could make a run. But depending on who you match up with, and what if you're matching up with Toronto in the first round? Could I see them losing to Toronto? Sure. Toronto's a great team. This just had their 7-game winning streak snap last night. But Austin Matthews is a beast. That could be tough. Getting another forward. You saw what Kopp and Vetrano did 2 years ago when they made those deals. I think they're going to need to make another deal like that if they're really going to feel like they can get over the top.
Let's go to Mike in Hawthorne.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
I've been sitting in traffic, and my head's been spinning listening to you guys for the last hour. Unbelievable radio.
Thank you.
Peter, Ali Bailey, way to go, Bill. And Don, seventh grade at Franklin Field at the in the bleachers where Michael was watching the Yankee games.
Exactly.
That being said, I'm Peter, I agree to disagree with you probably on 85% to 90% of what you do.
You don't know.
But what you did today on the morning show, I listened to it. The Baby Up Buttercup is a staple for my family. My brother Jim sings it at all of our events, weddings, everything, and it's a great, great song. But you mentioned Michael this morning. I actually got out of work and went back into the car to listen to it.
Wow.
And the way you handled that this morning showed me a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I'm diametrically opposed most of the time with your show, but you guys were entertaining. You mentioned Michael. You did a really nice job incorporating both of them. And again, you guys are the best. And I hope, and Peter, sorry for your loss. I lost a friend recently, and I'm with you, brother. All the best.
Thanks, man. Sorry to hear
Thanks,
that for
Mike.
You, too.
So, I mean, what is the skeleton of Whitish Wednesday? You play like a song that's not hip hop or anything like that, and then
Correct.
You have people that are sitting with you. Guess what the song is?
Correct.
Just from a couple of bars.
And
it's like name that white tune.
Correct. And it's how fast can you get in? And you have two phonophots, friends of the show. We have four of them that are always on hold. The same people.
Right.
And those people are always on hold. You have two of those per show.
So no one got Build Me a Buttercup except for you and Ebro.
It ended up being no points. No points allotted.
Now, is that more because it's a white song or because it's an older song?
Both.
That's
The point is just that, songs that didn't hit my co-host's lives.
All right, so I got
Laura
another.
Nailed the Laura finished. Laura was done in like 15 minutes today. That's why you kind of didn't hear any. It normally would go all the way to like 8:40.
Right.
Laura cleaned up.
Now, just next Wednesday,
yeah.
I think I love you. Parcher Trembley.
No, I mean, you're not making requests. You don't even listen to the show. Done.
If you play that, I'll get up and listen. I don't think they'll get it either. I don't think that the Partridge Family's in their wheelhouse.
I've done Partridge Family before, but I did ba 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 ba. Isn't that the Partridge Family?
Oh wait, no, that's it. Ba 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 ba.
That's the beginning. That's the beginning. I love you.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream, and all at once I wake up.
It's a nice
something that keeps knocking at my brain.
It's not very well done.
Why does he like such bad songs?
It was more popular than Hey Jude.
No. Well, that was just ignorance out of people.
Well, it sold more records.
But that's not always the best.
Milli Vanilli sold records.
It's a nice song.
And whoever were those boys.
Exceptionally
they
well
did some
done.
Job.
So you're going to compare it to the Beatles and like Led Zeppelin?
I'm not comparing it to
I'm
that.
I'm just saying that there's. Listen, it might be more popular, but that doesn't mean
well,
that it's
pop
better.
Music. Popular.
He had a
music.
Nice voice. It was
wonderful.
Studio
but
musicians.
Both,
do you really think the girl played the drums on it?
No, Susan Crowe. No,
no.
But I think I love.
How
Susan.
Do you know? How do you?
I know the whole cast name: Susan Day, Susan Crowe, Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, Danny was on the bass. He's slapping the bass.
Shirley Jones.
Sure.
And David Cassidy.
But I Think I Love You and Build Me Up Buttercup.
And Ruby Kincaid.
Don, it's like they're the same song. They're in such a similar category.
A lot of 70s music is the same.
Yeah, but it's like such a unique bag of
I love 70s.
Cheese balls.
Well, it's very formulaic, right? I mean, and listen, I love Lionel Richie. I almost love every song he's ever done. But they're basically the same song.
Yeah, but they're...
But because it's the formula that works.
No, but what I'm saying, I'm not talking about the formula. I'm talking about the style, Don. It's such a particular style Michael likes of like this. It's like as if a cappella.
You know what? I like
bubblegum.
I like music the way I like my food. Very
bland.
Basic. Very
bland.
You know, yeah.
Nothing special.
1910 Fruit Gum Company. Look at that. That's a great song they did. 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
Yes.
What's that?
I know, but what's the song?
I forget the song, but it's great.
It sounds like it.
Hey, listen up. It's Michael Kay. When it comes to travel, nothing beats Legends Limousine. I felt the difference, and let me tell you, it's real. When my family and I need a ride to the airport or out of town, we choose Legends. Their commitment to safety makes every trip a breeze. These guys are not just any service. They've been setting the gold standard for over 30 years. I trust them, and so should you. Call 1-888-LEGENDS. That's 1-888-534-3637. Again, 1-888-534-3637. Use the code ESPN10 to snag 10% off. Travel like a legend with Legends Limousine.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.